Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Joining us today, we have two guests. Our first guest, Carla Corvi, is the Vice President and Enterprise Risk Manager, which means she's the head of Audit, Risk, and Compliance for American Bank and Trust for the past 5.5 years. Carla has been in banking for 35 years, with 26 of those in audit and 6 in compliance overlapping. Also, we have Ryan Plucker. Ryan is an audit project manager, and he joined American Bank and Trust in February of 2022. Ryan lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and joined the bank from a fintech bank, where he worked as a senior auditor. Ryan has 13 years of banking, with 7 of those years in internal audit. His audit experience includes compliance, operational, IT, SOX and FDICIA auditing for both publicly traded and privately owned financial institutions. Carla, Ryan, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having
us. Hi, Daniel. Nice to be on your show.
We're really excited to have the two of you on because you've worked together a decent amount, and we'll really dig into that a little bit. But I always like to give my guests a chance to introduce themselves about who they are and how they got into the financial sector. So Carla, how did you get started in banking and wind up in the financial sector?
So when I first got out of college, I was trying to decide what I was going to do with my life. And my dad had a friend who worked at a community bank here in South Dakota. And so he put in a good word for me, and I went in and interviewed, and I ended up being a on projects at one of the local banks here in town. I went from doing projects to being in audit and then loan service and then back in audit, then finance, that kind of thing. When I switched jobs 20 years later, I went over into a finance group and then moved back into audit within the next year and a half or so. So I've been in audit most of the time. When I moved to American Bank and Trust, I've added on compliance, fiducia, risk management, those kinds of things as well. I only had a little bit of compliance management experience before at my old place, but now it's all on my team for all of those things.
Well, it sounds like you got a quality experience leading up to that point, though, to be like the compliance manager. That's great. Ryan, if you don't mind me asking, how did you get started in the financial sector?
Well, I was born and raised in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. A funny story, I was in Vermilion, South Dakota, USD, Coyotes, I followed a girl out to Colorado. Was out there, got a job at one of the bigger banks out there, biggest bank out there, didn't like some of the stuff that was going on with them, and had the opportunity to come back to Sioux Falls with a bank that's no longer around anymore at Great Western Bank, started as a branch manager. So I was personal banker, business banking. Kind of did a jack of all trades over there, teller, all that stuff. And then they had me here. I've been kind of, I tell people my beginnings in all my positions have been a little odd. I got hired sight unseen for the job here in town when I first moved back in 2013. They thought my manager was crazy, never seen me before, just did a 45-minute interview and they must like me a lot. And then ironically, she works with us as well. I got the chance to, I did that for about a year and a half or so. And Carla discovered that I was I had a good niche for audit. I was always asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. And so she said, "You want it?" I'm like, "Sure." And then it was kind of funny. I thought I was in trouble. One day, but I had to go interview with our head of audit at the time. And they had a little fun with it. That's kind of started how I moved into all that. I also did a dabble in during 2019, I took a job in fintech. And then COVID happened. So I worked from home for quite some time. And then kind of just bounced around at the same company in audit. And then had the opportunity to come work with my mentor again. That's kind of, it's a kind of a going joke around people is, especially now with Carla being here. I was taught by Carla how to do all that. So anytime I ever went places, good or bad, I always said, well, that's not the way I was taught. I feel like we should be doing it this way. And now I have the pleasure of saying, like, Carla, well, that's not the way you taught me. So I don't know what's going on here. Yeah, it's been a great experience in my career. I started at the bottom and worked my way up and found my way back to my mentor. So, yeah.
So, Carla, you've actually worked with Ryan in a couple of different positions then, haven't you?
Yep. Yeah, I was an audit manager at my previous place for, I don't know, 5 or 7 years or something. And Ryan joined us on the team a couple of years after I had started. So he's right. We've worked together quite a bit. Then when I came over here a little while after that, he went off on his own for a while as well. But mm-hmm. I ended up having an opening and he was ready to move. So I got him back, all good and bad. We know we know what to do.
Right. More bad for
bad
her.
For both sides.
I was gonna say hopefully more good there. I mean, she did want you back, right, Ryan? That's something there.
Yeah, I mean, she even helped me negotiate myself, so you know,
that's fantastic. It's nice to have that mentorship that you were saying, that yeah. Somebody you can look to and kind of like teach and educate. Because I mean, coming, I did the front house side of things for a little while myself, and it's a transition to go from mm-hmm. front house banker branch manager to compliance. How did you make that transition? Like, was it just something that occurred overnight for you, Ryan? So you just met Carla, or you mentioned asking the right questions?
So at the bank we were at together, we were kind of going through a change there. And so their audit was forefront. And I also worked with audit at my prior world too, mm-hmm. In Colorado. And so I always thought it was kind of like this interesting way to help. I know audit has that kind of stigmatism that, you know, we're the gotcha people. Well, no. You know, I always looked at it as how can I help? That's if you know me, that's usually what it is. What can I do to help you? Let's figure this out. You know, I'll try my best to make it, you know, present it the best way we can. But that kind of helped me, and that mentality kind of helped me go make that transition right into audit. And it's been a love-hate ever since. You know, I did not, if you would have asked, you know, 17-year-old Ryan that I would be writing for a living, basically, I would have laughed you into the next world and walked away and said, yeah, this man's crazy. Yeah, it's kind of what happened, I guess. And I love what we do. I love the industry. I love the career. I think the audit profession has gone tremendously upwards in the past mm-hmm. few years. So, and hopefully it continues doing that. We got good leadership around it. So,
then let me ask a little bit about the mentorship that you've had from Carla. Have the two of you ever established like a formal mentor-mentoree kind of relationship, or is it just like she kind of just pulled you into to program and showed you how things were done? Like what kind of relationship have you had in that?
I think it was kind of more formal at the beginning. I mean, when I say formal, it wasn't like we sat with HR, filled out a bunch of paperwork.
Right.
She was my direct report. I was her direct report, sorry. And so it was easy to have those coaching moments, you know, and she was tough on me. I mean, she really told me what I wasn't doing, what I was doing right. And the best thing about Carla as a mentorship is, she can identify where your weaknesses and strengths are before you even know them. And okay. One of my biggest weaknesses, and I've admitted this even in my interview here, I've come a long ways for a record. I've come a long ways. time management. I mean, that when I was younger, I struggled with that. I had a hard time saying no. Always wanted to please people, you know, just take on more and more and more. And then here's Carla saying, well, where is it at? Where is it at? And I'm like, well, like, it's over there. I mean, it's sitting there. I haven't touched it yet. That was one thing that, I mean, she could identify that, and she wasn't the, you know, bringing the hammer down, you know, kind of boss. It's more of, okay, let's sit down, let's figure it out. You know, maybe there's some classes we can get in, listen to, teach you some, you know, techniques. One thing that I still carry over to this day that she taught me was printing out my calendar day every day. And that's where I take my notes, and that's where my day is. So if it's not on there, it's probably not going to get done, but if it's on there, it'll get done for the most part. There's still things I'm still adjusting, you know, we're a work in progress.
Hey, everybody has room to grow, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've learned a lot from, Carla. She's been a great mentor. I've had mentors in the past that just, treat it as a, kind of a task. Carla, I can say two things about her regarding to mentorship is I wouldn't have my job, my career, or my life without her. She has I owe a lot to her for where I'm at in life. And the second thing is when it comes to actual learning, there's not one other person I could learn from more from in a day ever. I mean, it's the way she presents it is makes it want you to succeed. So, and for anybody that's listening, this is not going to help my performance review at all. So, I wish. So, I mean, if I can give everybody, you know, email addresses, you can send your comments, concerns, and questions to Carla Corvey. But yeah, so I'm very passionate about the mentorship. I've done it in the past a few times, and had good results. I still got a lot to learn. So hopefully that answered the question.
Yeah, no, and it absolutely did. And I think you made some quality points there. From what I heard, just kind of pulling the context out of it, is she taught you in a way that was applicable to you. So in a way that was relevant to how you needed to learn, and that she held you accountable for different assignments and projects. And that she provided the safe learning environment that you needed in order to progress from where you started to where you are today.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna flip this over to you, Carla. So the question I have
should for I leave you the was, room real quick?
Yeah, you're just fine. So Carla, the question I have for you is kind of twofold. The first question I have for you is, one, was it intentional or was this just incidental? And then two, what steps did you find yourself intentionally taking to be that mentor to Ryan? Like, are there any like defining moments? You're like, this is what made me decide to do this. This is what made me decide to do this. Like, are there any of those contexts?
So as far as how we decided to start this relationship, it really wasn't anything set all formally. Mm-hmm. You know, I had quite a few direct reports at the time. And so we had people in that were very inexperienced, and then we had some that didn't need hardly any guidance. But I wanted my team to all get to the point of doing things basically the same way. So that's how it started. And then with Ryan specifically, he and I had a lot of the same outlooks regarding work. So
I was her favorite.
You know, we'll get into that.
Sorry.
But that's how we started though. And Ryan did, like he said, have some things that we had to work on and everything. And time management definitely was one of them. So that is something that everybody has problems with sometimes. So we just, now I think we help each other out. It's not just a one-way thing. Even back when we first started, it was not just a one-way street because Ryan had been in the branches and knew how things actually happened out there. So I was able to learn from him as well. And that's one of the things you have to remember as a mentor, is that you're going to learn from your mentee as well. I really enjoy doing that kind of thing. It's just now that Ryan is here with me at this location, we've gotten, he's come so far that he doesn't really need me as much.
It's not the same way that it once was.
Right. Yep. He's growing a lot.
So then let's kind of address that a little bit, because I mean, time management, we've said that a few different times, right? I think everybody at some point in their career or life struggles with the concept of time management. Like I've got my lists. Everybody's got their list of things that need to get done. And it feels like some days you're just adding to the list instead of removing from the list. So let's talk a little bit about time management or project flow management between you, Carla, and then to Ryan, and kind of lay how that works out for you. So Carla, let's start here. Where do projects come from? Do you just say, hey, I've got this thing that I saw here that I want you to do, or are you assigned projects from your superiors? Where do your projects come from?
So we report to the audit committee of the board. Now, we do have a line of reporting to the president and CEO, but we get together the audit and compliance plan at the beginning of the year, so we know what we're all going to be doing and almost which order, right up until everything changes, because it always does. But so we have plans for everything, and that's the way, you know, the audit mind thinks. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the compliance mind. You have to be very organized and know which things are the hot topics and that kind of stuff. So we have our plan ahead of time. And then as we get into, say, the year, we communicate. It's really setting up the communication, giving everybody the expectations, all of that kind of thing, so that we can take ownership of our schedule and move forward as best we can. Obviously, there's going to be some times when things come up that throw us all for a loop. So like the PPP loans a few years ago, those we set aside everything we were doing, and my team reviewed every single one of them.
Yeah. So then you get your project, and then what happens? Where does it go from there?
So first we have to decide who's going to lead that audit or review, and then who has time to help with it. We have a very small staff. We're over $1.5 billion, and it's Ryan and myself and two other people. So we have a lot to do. My other two people actually do more of the compliance work, but Ryan and I both have enough experience to be able to help with that as well.
Right.
So we decide who's going to do which thing, who's going to be the backup, especially if it's a long-term item or it's a monthly compliance review or something. So we have to figure out who's going to do it, and then we get started with making a program and assigning out the tasks.
Perfect. And then when you're signing out the tasks, I'm assuming you're looking at just work schedule, who's got what projects assigned currently, what are their proficiencies. So if it's hypothetically more of a compliance side, you know, that Ryan more focuses on audit. So if he's already got busy on audit, maybe you'll pass that over to compliance, or vice versa. If it's more audit, then pass it more over to Ryan. Are you weighing all those things as you're considering who to send what projects to?
Oh yeah. It all goes in there because you can't do things in a silo. You have to plan. And again, with such a small staff, you really have to be efficient with your planning.
So then let me ask, I'm assuming that with the small staff, because there's just the four of you, I'm assuming you yourself are housing projects that you're doing as well on top of passing projects on, or do you find yourself in more of a supervisory role?
Well, I supervise very well. I love to give out other people's some work. However, all of us here at the bank are working managers. We don't just manage. I don't actually spend probably all that much time managing. I mean, I help with the audits.
Right.
Hey. So it's just, again, it's a team effort, and it doesn't, like, yeah, in the end, I suppose I have to make the decision, and I'm the one who takes blame if there's anything wrong.
Yep.
But we all work together, and everybody kind of has their specialties, so that helps a lot. And they don't really overlap.
Carla, I really like some of the things you brought up in there. I love the fact that you addressed assigning those projects to the individuals that it was pertinent to, about how you managed it overall, but at the same time, you're a working manager, because I think that's just the nature of the industry today, that everybody needs to be all hands on deck. Like, there's no such thing as just sitting back and managing or taking a backseat driving position. Like, everybody's got their hands involved in the industry at all times. And I really appreciate that. Thank you. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today's episode. So we're gonna actually cancel this, and we're going to pick it up in next week's episode. But for those of you who are listening in, thank you for tuning in. And that's Banking Matters.